How about we stand? Let's welcome Mark Baines.
Okay, so tomorrow I'm doing a business seminar, and the idea behind it is to share some of the things that I learned. When I was in Deloitte, I was unusual for somebody who works in a big international firm in that I advised entrepreneurial businesses, owner-managed businesses. So I had a dual role, one of which was advising owner-managed businesses, and the other being a management role in a big international firm. So I want to share some of the things that God taught me over the 26 years I was an accountant in terms of what I advise people, but some of the things I experienced myself. So I'm going to be looking at what are these weird guys called entrepreneurs and what makes them tick? How do they become successful? Why are they successful? And how do you measure success? But I'm also going to talk about the three biggest lessons I learned in business. I'm going to talk about how you handle criticism, how you deal with those crises that come along when they come along unexpectedly. And I'm also going to look at how you handle people, because the only way you're ever successful is in understanding how people tick. And you know, guys, that's why we have a big advantage as Christians, because we can deal with people's hearts, whereas other people just deal with numbers. So we should have an advantage when we go into business, because if we can connect with people's hearts, we can achieve more than any of us, however talented we are, on our own. In the afternoon, I gave Steve a load of choices about what would you like me to do, and he forgot to respond until it was too late. So I bought a bag of all sorts of things. But actually, I think what I'm actually going to talk about is just a personal testimony of lessons I wished I'd learned before I burnt out and had to go to Germany. And then the last session I'm going to do, it's actually a really personal testimony of a very high-profile thing that I was right at the centre of, a big public inquiry. And what I'm going to do is talk through how God helped me walk through that. Principles that are there for anybody to walk, because what he taught me is how to deal with mistreatment and how to come out with the victory at the other side. And I'm going to tell you about a walk that took 3 years of absolute secrecy and absolute pain. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. Is that okay? Do you want to come?
I forgot to say that on Sunday morning, Mark is going to be at our Brampton campus. So for those of you who live in Brampton, yay, we're Brampton, yay. Mark's going to be the guest speaker for their second anniversary.
That's cool. I was told they were going to do a party after the second anniversary, so that's the one I'll go to. I like parties. Only at the moment, parties consist of lettuce. That's all I'm allowed to eat. Lettuce and other boring things. Everything I like, I can't have. And everything I don't like, I can have. So it's a really cool diet. Yeah. So, anyway, so you're probably wondering, like, who am I? Like, I've never heard of this guy. Well, that's okay, because my mum likes me. But, you know, when you come to something like this, it's really hard to be here and think, well, I'm just going to share and let the Holy Spirit minister. Because like so many people who probably stand up here, this place changed my life. When I was walking away from God, what happened here brought me back. The strange thing is, I never came here until 2 years ago. But it was the effects of what happened in here when they sped to England that turned my life right around. And so that's something I'm just hugely grateful for. But it then gives you a problem, like, well, what do you talk about? Like, well, it's a Come Holy Spirit night. Well, Come Holy Spirit to Toronto. Well, how does that work then? He's come and he's here. and he's here all the time, so how does it work? And we say, well, it's a revival night. Well, what's a revival when you live in revival and you're revived? You're alive. So like, I got to that conclusion. I thought, there's nothing left to talk about then, is there? But I'll tell you a little bit about me, because sometimes you think, well, what's this guy being? Because you've been introduced to me as a businessman, but I've sold out my business and my passion is God. So there's three things you need to know about me. One, I'm English. Two, I'm from the north of England, which means I'm straight and blunt. And three, because I'm from the north of England, I have problems with the letter H when I speak. So, it's like, well, what am I? Am I a preacher? Am I a teacher? Am I a prophet? Am I an evangelist? Well, I don't know. I'm whatever God wants me to be. So I'm just going to listen tonight. I've got a plan that God showed me this afternoon, and I'm just going to listen to where we go. Is that all right? Is that okay? So I'm just me. And sometimes people say, well, you know, we have this big thing in England about anointings. And people have come up to me like, what anointing do you carry? And I think, well, I carry the same one as everybody else because I carry Jesus. And that's the only anointing I need. So I'll just speak from that one. Is that okay? Yeah, I don't do the like oil on the hands and the gold dusty things. I've just never been led into that. So you just have to put up with me without any special effects. Is that all right? Yeah? You see, God said to me a little while ago, I was thinking through this whole idea of revival. And when we started the church in Cambridge, there was a prophetic word spoken over the church. And it consisted of two things. The first thing was that we would change the hearts and minds of Cambridge to change the heart and mind of England. You know, Cambridge is the centre of intellectualism in the UK. But more so, it's the centre of atheism in the UK. So I'm thinking, God, why couldn't you send me back to the north? At least up there they understand me. At least up there they don't complain about my missing H's. You know, they understand what I'm talking about. But you brought me to a bunch of intellectuals and you want me to change this. And he said, not by might, but by my spirit. And then they said a second thing in this prophecy, which was that we would raise up a generation who would be a voice to the nations. And since we started the church 4 years ago, we now have over 50% of our church is from other nations. We have 29 nations in our church, which is just incredible. And we've sent people back to nations already. We've got a guy out in Uganda, and he's a lawyer, and he's on track to stand for president of his country in a few years' time. We've got a lady in our church who believes God's told her that she'll be the first woman president of Trinidad and Tobago. And you know, that's the sort of person you encounter in Cambridge. So I was saying to God, well, okay, well, what does, if you're promising me that England's going to be changed, what does revival look like? What does revival look like? Because I'm of a generation that has never seen revival in England. You know, not of the traditional kind. You know, Duncan Campbell and Evan Roberts and all those sort of things, they were a long history before I ever got involved in the church. And he said to me, I'm not asking for revival. He said, it's too late for revival. What I need is a reformation, son. So start thinking reformation instead of revival. Because I can revive my church, but unless it goes outside the walls of the church and connects with society and changes society, there will be no lasting impact. So we've been looking at how do we take the move of God's Holy Spirit outside the walls of the church. You know, one of the things I am is a worshipper. And I just love the worship tonight. I just loved it. I love Kevin. But I love the way he leads worship as well. And, you know, ladies, you two on the front row, and I can't see the lady with the pink box. You're an inspiration, the way you worship. I just saw you lost in God. And I just think, that is awesome. That is just incredible. So I was looking at them and thinking, wow, I just want to be lost in God like that. Because of all the things I am, I'm a worshipper at heart. So what I want to do tonight is what God's put on my heart is just to bend your minds a little bit. So I'm going to speak a little bit and then we'll pray together, and then I'll speak a bit more and then we'll pray together, because I want to lead you on a journey. And if it's controversial or I offend anybody, well, firstly, I'll apologise. Secondly, you can just say, well, he's British and they always offend us. But if God touches you, then respond. How's that? Does that work?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. You see, when we think about revival, we want God to do a new thing. Like he did a new thing here 15, 16 years ago? 16 years ago. And he did that new thing and it changed the church. It changed the way we think about God. It changed the way we think about how we can invade a place. It changed the way we respond to God. But the problem now is we've come to think God do a new thing, but we want it to look like something we already understand. So it becomes a new thing, which is actually an old thing. And what's happening, this is what God's been placing in my spirit. What we see is that we keep bumping up against our existing experience. So life becomes a series of highs and lows where we approach that level of experience that we know we've already walked in or can walk in. And we get there and we think, that's it, I'm there. And then we fall back again. And we keep bumping up against this. And we have outpourings and moves of God. And they just seem to go so far, but it never takes our experience any further. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you see, I'm one of these people that lies on the floor and looks up at the stars and says, God, there's more to life than this. And you know, when Jesus came, he walked in a particular way. And then, after he'd gone back, the disciples and the apostles and all his followers walked in that same way. And that way is called fullness. You see, there wasn't a question for them about whether somebody was going to get healed or not. They got healed. There wasn't a question for them about were they hearing the Holy Spirit or not. They knew they were hearing the Holy Spirit. Because they didn't have teachers, they didn't have scripture to look at and Bible study, they had the Holy Spirit as their teacher. And there's something in me that says that fullness, that level that the disciples walked in, is something that we need to move into. And as long as we have our eyes on something that God has already done, and an experience that God has already shown us, we can't go beyond that to see a greater revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me put it this way. In Romans chapter 8, it says that there's... Is it 8? It's in Romans. It says that there's a generation coming before the end called the sons of God. And all creation's waiting for the manifest sons of God. Who are the manifest sons of God? A generation who will walk in the fullness of power and love and walk by the Spirit of God and demonstrate agape love to the world. And that generation has to come. And that generation is coming, and that generation should be us. Because there is no barrier to it being us. In what Jesus did, he did everything that was necessary for us to be that generation. You know, when he said it's finished, It meant it's perfectly perfect, completely complete. In other words, nothing more to be done. So there's nothing to stop us being that generation except what goes on in our own heads. And the biggest barrier we face to being that generation, the manifest sons of God, is our own heads. And that's why this is so difficult to preach in Cambridge, because the problem is our minds. The problem isn't our spirits. The problem isn't the Holy Spirit. The problem isn't God's. The problem is our heads. So it's like this. How does God respond to people? How does God respond to you? What draws God? Well, the Bible's really clear on what draws God. Hunger is what draws God. Hunger in our hearts. And that hunger brings him close. And when he comes close, then we can be changed. Because we're changed not by the accumulation of facts and knowledge and book reading, we're changed by the encounter. How many of you know that it's the encounter that changes you? You should do, because we're transformed from glory to glory by seeing his face. So it's the encounter that changes us. It's the encounter that makes us new. It's the encounter that moves us in our spirit. So if we're going to step into fullness, what we're looking for is an encounter with God that gives us revelation. So we want that encounter tonight. We want it to start, don't we? Yeah? Do you want it to start? Okay, well, let's stand up and we'll start praying. Because what we want is we want oneness with the Spirit of God. We're kind of used to feeling God's presence, feeling the Spirit move. We're starting to get used to hearing him, but we want to walk in oneness with the Spirit of God. Because the truth is, we are one with the Spirit of God. But now we want to walk in it. So we need an increase in revelation that is imparted to us. So I'm going to pray for an increase of revelation. Okay? As I'm praying, you can pray in tongues, you can speak out. You know, I won't be upset if you speak over me. I won't be upset if there's too much noise. But let's just go for it. Let's ask for an increase in revelation. Lord, I just ask you right now. I ask you by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into this place. Impart to us wisdom, revelation. Lord, Spirit of revelation, I ask you to rise up in our hearts. I ask you to start to move now, Lord. Our desire is to see revival. Our desire is to see reformation. But our desire, our true desire, is to see fullness of you. And I'm asking you now, Lord, impart wisdom, impart revelation. Lord, bend our minds. Get all the junk out of the way that stops you showing us your beauty and your glory. Every bit of junk that stops us walking in agape love towards each other and towards a hurting world. Every part of us, Lord, that gets in the way of you, every bit of intellect, every bit of knowledge, every fact that we know, where it doesn't submit to your spirit, then let it out of the way, Lord. Lord, I'm asking for revelation. I'm asking for revelation to come in this place, to come in our hearts. Lord, we're asking you to change our minds. We're asking you to change our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Spirit of revelation, come. Spirit of revelation, come. You know, if you desire that, then just get together with the person next to you and just pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for each other that revelation will increase, that revelation will be imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. I can't get round you all, but you can pray for each other. It's the same Spirit in you that's in any believer. Oh, my dear, 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 d Okay. Oh. Ah. Oh, give me this, get it. Come at it, come at it. 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 Yeah. I was talking to my wife a few months ago, and we were going through, partly because I was struggling with my health, we were going through a difficult time with sort of the whole walk, and we hadn't seen what was promised us. How many of you haven't seen what's been promised yet? Well, you're going to see it. I don't know what God's put in your heart, but you're going to see it, because he doesn't put it there without intending to fulfill it. And quite by accident, God said something to me. My wife said, "It's just too hard. It's just too hard. Why do you want to walk in fullness? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to pursue all this sort of stuff?" And I said, "Because there's nothing else worth it." And she said, "But it's too hard." And then just God said to me, just like, you know how sometimes he just whispers into your spirit? So my wife's going, "It's too hard, it's too hard, I've had enough." And I'm going, and then just God stepped in and he said, "No, son, it's not too hard, it's too easy. That's why you're missing it. It's not too hard, it's too easy." See, God never intended it to be difficult for us. It's just that over 2010 years or whatever it is, we've lost it. We've lost our understanding of how to live by and from the Spirit. How to know without a doubt that it's Christ in me and me in Christ, and when I walk, Christ walks with me. And I'm a living, walking, talking body of Christ. And we've lost it. And through what happened in 1994 here and what's been happening since then, we're starting to rediscover it. But there's still another level. And it's not too hard, it's too easy. It's simple. And God said to me, I'm going to restore to you the heart of simplicity. And I said, well, what's that mean then? Because every time I read books about simplicity, it involves me giving everything away, burning everything I value, and living in sackcloth and ashes. And eating lettuce. Okay, I've got the lettuce bit. I'm doing well with the lettuce. But the rest of it, I don't get. And simplicity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained, predestined, devised and decreed before the world to our glory. You see, we've got used to this idea that God won't share his glory with anybody. Uh-uh. God shares his glory with all his children because he wants us to be in real relationship with him and share his glory. So he hid mysteries away right at the beginning of time to be released into our lives now. And those mysteries are for our glory. And that word glory there means to be lifted up and dwell within his presence all the time. The destiny of everybody in this room is to dwell within the presence of God all the time. To be conscious of, to be aware of the presence of God. And it's not too hard, it's too easy. That's the problem. It's too easy because our minds want it to be hard. Because our mind says, oh, I get a kick out of working it all out. I get a kick out of 6 steps and 7 steps to that and 3 steps to this. I get a real kick out of that, memorizing all those Bible verses. And God said, uh-uh, it's simplicity I'm looking for. You see, when I went to university, I never heard of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And what happened was that in my second year, I had trouble with we had to live off campus, and I had trouble with the landlady, and I got kicked out. And basically she wanted more rent, and I didn't have it. And I applied for a room back on campus, and I got put by accident in a room on a girl's floor. So that was cool. It was even cooler when I discovered I was on the floor, only guy, with 10 Christian girls. All of them were Christians. And they were like praying and like singing at night. And I'm going like, what is this? How can you be that excited about God? And they said, well, it's all about the Holy Spirit. And they lent me a book called 9 o'clock in the Morning. Anybody read that book? What a cool book. And so I prayed, God, give me what's in that book. And he did. You know, because I never thought about it. It was just like, okay, God's a powerful God. He's doing what's in that book. I want it. Thank you very much. Simple. And for a while after that, what happened was, I thought, well, I've discovered this God, and he does healing. And I can listen to him and hear him. And I was going about the campus at university. I was praying for people, and everybody was getting healed. You know, I've discovered baptism in the Holy Spirit. Within a day, somebody with a twisted spine, it straightened under my hand. Within a week, somebody with blind eyes, not totally blind, but nearly totally blind, going blind, they're opened and they're new. And everybody I pray for is getting healed. But not only that, I'm hearing voices in my head. Okay, now you're worried, aren't you? But there's two voices in my head. There's me and there's God. And I'm walking around campus and he's telling me what to do. He's telling me who to pray for. He told me one day, stand at the bottom of a... We had a big tower block of accommodation in the middle of our university. And he told me one day to stand at the bottom of it. And after I've been stood there for half an hour, I'm going like, what's this all about, God? He said, just stay there. And it was that clear. Just stay there. And this girl came along, and she was on my course, and she was talking to me. And then she moved off, and I'm there another 15 minutes, and I'm going, okay, God, I'm wasting my time. I'm not hearing you, okay. And then I said, no, stay there. So I stayed. And then this girl came back, and she walked in the door at the bottom of this accommodation tower, and she just said, what are you doing here? And I said, God told me to stand here. She's not a Christian. She's training as an accountant. There's not many Christians training as accountants. She wasn't one. And so she goes, why are you here? And I said, I've just told you, God told me to be here. And she just fell on the floor and started crying. And what had happened was she split up with a boyfriend the night before, and she thought life wasn't worth going on. And she was going to go to the top of the tower and throw herself off. And me standing there was the only thing that had stopped her the first time. And so I shared with her the gospel, and she became a Christian just there and then. So I'm walking in that. So I'm walking in this sort of fullness. So I did what this book told me. I went home and I told my vicar. We have vicars in England. I don't know what you call them here. Episcopal vicars. Yeah? So I go and tell my vicar and share what the exciting things that God's doing and say, we're on a roll. And he goes, that's not the spirit of God. God doesn't do that anymore. That's a different spirit. Now, you've got to remember at this stage, I'm 19 and very impressionable, and he's a very wise person. And quite honestly, that started a track that shut me down. And it took me on a journey until 1993. And by 1993, I'm applying for ministry in that church and preaching against the things I've experienced as a lie. In 1994, I'm ready to walk away from God, because I know there's a God of power. And yet, I can't experience him. And in 1994, I go to Sunderland. I walk in the building, and the presence of God's there. And my life was changed. But with my life being changed and seeing the Holy Spirit, everything else falls back in place. But you know what the frustrating thing is? I've never been able to walk in that fullness. You know, we've seen blind eyes opened again. We've seen calcified lungs, people given new lungs. We've seen tumours disappear out of wombs. We've got before and afters. You know, like sometimes you struggle for the before and afters. We have before and after x-rays. Myself, I have a before and after ECG on my heart that shows that I've had a heart attack and I've got a new heart. So we walk in that. But the frustrating thing is, it's not 100%. In fact, it's less than 50%. And why is that? Why can we experience things? Why can we experience things like an outpouring of the Spirit? Why can we experience things where we can be in a prayer line, touched by God, and yet get up unhealed? Why can we experience things where one person is healed and not another? Is it too hard? No, because it isn't, because I've lived it. It's too easy. And what's happened to me is, in my journey from that original time to 1993, I read every book that I could find in existence, pro and con, against the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, upon the Holy Spirit, in me, upon me, never been anywhere, he was only for the apostles, it ceased, all those sort of things. And my head is full of junk. And it wants a big clear out. And God's doing that, and he wants to clear out all our heads. That's what we've been praying for. Yeah? Are you with me? So the problem is, it's too easy, and our heads can't deal with how easy it is. There is something to be entered into. There's a level of walking in the Spirit and living by the power of God that we've only sensed and touched at on the edges, which is greater than any of us have walked in so far. And it's called the manifest sons of God. And that's your destiny. Does that sound cool? Is that the sort of destiny you would hope for when you came to Christ? Well, it's yours. You just have to bend your brain a little. So I'm preaching this to Cambridge graduates. And they're going, this guy's anti-intellectual. Well, I'm not anti-intellectual. I've had a successful career. I came out top of my whole university. But if you are genuinely intellectual, instead of somebody that's just looking for something that's an idea or something to put down in an essay or something to write a book about, have you ever noticed that all these clever guys, they write these books and they quote lots of other clever guys, and none of them have had an original thought, because they all say somebody said that before them. and they quote proof texts, and then they go around in a big circle and start again. And this guy that quoted all the previous proof texts now has his own proof text that they quote then. And these Cambridge graduates, they love that sort of thing. But if you're genuinely intellectual and you apply that intellectual rigor to the word of God, you come to the conclusion that intellect counts for nothing in terms of receiving revelation. It counts for nothing in terms of receiving wisdom, because revelation and wisdom are spiritually discerned. And if you're genuinely honest about looking at the word of God, you have to say it has to be spirit first. It's written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who agape him," those who love him. "But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." What's that saying? He's saying, look, this idea of simplicity, like I responded at university, it's not the understanding that will allow us to enter in. It's not because we can explain something that allows us to enter into it. The way the Spirit works, this is what God's been showing me, the way the Spirit works is like this. It's the simplicity of the response to what is revealed that allows you to enter in to the reality of what has been shown you. The simplicity of the response of what is revealed that allows you to enter into the reality of what's been shown you. You know, like it said, Jesus only did the things the Father showed him. He entered into the reality and responded to what the Father was showing him. So, we can't do this by reading books or trying to explain things or trying to understand things or trying to work it all out. We're not going to enter a greater level of fullness by trying to work things out. We're not going to enter a greater level of fullness by rigorous theology around the word of God, because if we could do that with the amount of books, teaching tapes, CDs and everything we've got, we would have worldwide revival 600 years ago. As soon as printing presses come out, we would have had worldwide revival. So it must be a different thing. You know, Heidi Baker doesn't see what she sees because she knows and analyses every single word of God, and she's cleverer than us. She sees what she sees by dependence on God and doing what she sees God doing. And if we can, as a body, as a people, all walk like that, then we can enter into something that's awesome and different. And I don't know what that will feel like, but it won't feel like anything we've felt before, because it'll be natural. It'll be from inside us and around us and upon us. It'll be the whole of our spirits engaged with God, oneness with God. So we take what God shows us and we respond. So if you're sat there and God showed you that you should speak a word to somebody in the room or pray for somebody, you respond straight away. You don't try and work out, well, actually, if God's saying that to me, maybe he didn't mean that, or maybe I've got the wrong person, or maybe that'll upset them, or maybe this and maybe that, and maybe I'm not the right person to give the word, and if only I had a bit more info, I could do it, God. No, you just go straight with it. You know, sometimes when we pray for healing for people, we try and work out all the reasons why they won't be healed and address all the reasons why they won't be healed to get past them to get them healed. We do. Well, we've just talked ourselves out of seeing them healed. It's amazing God does any healings at all. Because we have, you know, every book you read on healing is 20 reasons why God doesn't heal. There's all, even healing books have 20 reasons why God doesn't heal. Well, how about 20 reasons why God does heal? Firstly, the cross, where it's all done and healing is fully provided. You know, we need a change of mindset. Smith Wigglesworth used to walk in the room. You know, we have this thing about, well, there was an atmosphere of unbelief. Well, Smith Wigglesworth used to walk in a room and he said, I don't care. I have dominant faith. I carry Christ, only believe. I have dominant faith. And that's how it works. We need to be a generation that has dominant faith, that won't accept excuses that are generated by our minds. Because, you know, I don't know what it's occurred to you, but when Jesus went about healing people, he healed everybody. Now, if he's healing a whole town of people and people coming from all the regions all around, I don't think he has time to sit down for a 15-hour counselling session with everybody to work out what their beliefs are, what their belief system is, what's happened to them, and the history of that. He just healed them. Because it was natural for him. He had dominant faith. The manifest sons of God will have dominant faith. So, mysteries are received, not taught by mere human wisdom. And we've got to respond from the place of revelation, not from the place of explanation. You see, let me explain what I mean by that. I was listening to a TV show a number of years ago. It was a Kenneth Copeland TV show. And they had Gloria interviewing Billy Brim. And Billy Brim is talking about how we are meant to rule and reign in life. You know that passage out of Romans? We're meant to rule and reign in life. And I just grasped hold of that. And I decided that if it said it, then I should be able to do it. And now we had some dead plants in our garden that had been dead for 3 years. So I said to Cheryl, I'm meant to rule and reign in life. I'm not going to go down the garden shop and buy some new plants. They're coming to life. And she said, well, you know, you're mad, but have a go. That's Cheryl's Cheryl's my wife. That's her usual response to me. So day after day, we had this like a conservatory on the end of the house. And day after day, Cheryl would be sat there having a coffee or chatting to some friends. And each day I'd go out and speak of the plants. And I'd command this plant to life. And you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And every day, the more I'm going out there, the more Cheryl's laughing at me. And then after 3 months, there was one bud. That plant is now 9 foot high and covered in life after 3 years of being dead. You see, it was the original response that allowed me to enter in, that allowed me to see the demonstration, that then brought the understanding. And there's a divine order of things that we seem to have got the wrong way around, where we seek the understanding first in order to see the effect. But what God is saying is the new generation, the sons of man, the sons of God, are those who understand that it's in the receiving, but to which we respond, that gives the demonstration, that gives then the understanding. There's an order of things. And it's the demonstration by which we then understand because the Spirit teaches us. Okay, so we're going to pray again now. Is that okay? And what we're going to pray for, you can pray for each other. What we're going to pray for is to clear out, ask God to start clearing out all the junk and sort of twisted thought patterns that aren't of Him. All that information and all that knowledge that doesn't line up with His will, with His Spirit, with His Word. Okay, so let's stand and let's pray. Lord, we want to see your mysteries revealed. We want to see those hidden things you've stored away from us. Lord, we want to see and share in your glory the things that you have stored away for our glory. And we're asking you to show us those, Lord. And right now, Lord, I'm asking you to clear out by your Holy Spirit every bit of junk that is in our heads, every wrong thought pattern, every line of thought, every line of understanding that doesn't line up with your word and with your Spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, to start to impart to us clearer thought patterns, better thought patterns, new revelations. And as we hear those new revelations, Lord, let us be ones who respond, ones who respond, who receive and respond. New thought patterns, new revelation, God, new revelation, new revelation, God. Spirit of discernment, we ask you to rise up. Come to the fore in our hearts and in our minds. Come to the fore in our hearts and our minds. Rise up, Holy Spirit. Okay. Somebody's got. You've done something with the back of your neck, your atlas joint or your top vertebrae, and it's really painful. You like, as you move your head, you can sort of hear a bit of a creaking noise. That's you, is it? Okay, come here. What have you done to it? You injured yourself soaking. Okay. You know, my son broke his arm in a healing service.
He's been healing me big time.
Okay, let's pray. There's somebody else who's got a... You've got a problem with your spine. That's got a problem... Too. That's you too, okay. Is it somebody else as well? It feels like there's like a coldness in it and... It's not mobile. Not as mobile as it normally is. Okay. Jesus, just show your love. Neck, be healed. Muscles, come free. Vertebrae, line up. Just like that atlas joint right now. Come back into place in Jesus' name. Come back into place in Jesus' name. Come back into place in Jesus' name. Somebody else who's, I think it's your mum. Your mum's really ill. And she's got all sorts of problems with blood pressure. And it's quite serious. Who's that? Anybody? Come here. You can stand proxy. Come on. Okay, we're just going to carry... They're going to carry on praying. I'll carry on talking. Otherwise, you're just going to be spectators, aren't you? But all I'm trying to do here is just respond to what the Holy Spirit's showing me. All right? So that's all the word of knowledge is, isn't it? It's just a response. So we respond to see the demonstration so we can get understanding. And from what we see that God has done and is doing, we're meant to get the fruit out of that that takes us to a higher level. Now, most of us have seen miracles. Most of us have seen God do things in the past. Most of us have seen the supernatural. But what happens is our mind goes, I don't understand that. It files it in one side. And instead of letting our spirit minister to us to show us the fruit out of what we've seen so we can enter into it, we file it and say, God did a good thing, but we don't move on because we don't take the fruit out of the miracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the way this thing works is this. Jesus said that, you know, when they brought the children to Jesus, Mark 10, verse 15, he said, unless you receive the kingdom of heaven like a child, you cannot enter in. So you receive, you can only enter in to what you've already received. You can only enter into revelation that you've already received. In other words, hearing God, determining you will respond on the first prompt, responding and then entering in. So you enter into what you've already received. That's how it works. See, it's getting a lot simpler, isn't it? Because it doesn't rely on you having to work anything out. It only relies on you starting to hear the Holy Spirit a bit more clearly. How's his neck done?
It's getting better. He's been healing it all week. I felt it heating up and infusing. And
okay. Say that again.
Oh, he's been healing it all week since last week. I've been feeling it heating up and fusing. Like my disc has been ruptured since 1995. Two bad knees, a dislocated neck. Had my head kicked in. He's been healing my brain, my lungs, everything all at once. He goes, my grace is sufficient. Some things take time, Kevin.
Oh. Oh, what a light.
Okay. Okay. Let me tell you why it only works from the Spirit. How do you believe? How do you believe? Where do you believe? When you first believed in Jesus, where did you believe? In your heart. In your heart. We believe with our heart. So anything that will increase our faith, anything that will move us to a higher level, has to be done by the Holy Spirit in our heart. We don't believe with our minds. We understand with our minds. God gave us our minds for a purpose, and that purpose was understanding. But when Adam walked the earth, God gave him revelation by his Spirit, spirit to spirit. And then his mind would take the revelation that God had given him and form it into a pattern so he was able to repeat it. But when he fell, he exalted his mind above his spirit, and that's the state we've lived in ever since. And that's the state we keep reverting back to, even though we're born again believers. But actually our spirit is now able to function superior to our mind, so we can receive things through our spirit and enter into them. So by the demonstration that comes from entering in, we then understand and process and can repeat and do again. Are you getting this? So this passage, it comes to an end. It says, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the clever people, the intellectual people, can't receive it by their intellect, because you can't get to it by a natural man. For their foolishness, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that's spiritual judges all things, but he judges no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to finish by praying for each other to receive the mind of Christ. If you want me to pray, you'll have to come forward. If you want somebody next to you in your seat to pray, then that's fine. But if you want me to pray, you'll have to come forward and I'll pray for you. I'm not any more anointed than any of you. It's the same Spirit. But if it gives you more confidence or whatever, then I'll pray for you. Okay? Because what we want to do is we want to receive. We want to receive tonight. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come. You know, you're not going to receive from me, you receive from the Holy Spirit, so you might as well just put your hands out and start receiving instead of waiting for me. You know, just sense the presence of God. Ask him. Just say, Lord, you say I've got the mind of Christ. Well, I want to walk in it. I want it to manifest. I want it to manifest fully. Holy Spirit, stir up that mind within me. Stir up that mind within me. Stir up that... Oh, okay, well, he's doing it there, isn't he? What are you feeling? Joy, that's cool. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit, so that's the mind of Christ, that's coming. Mind of Christ. just receive. Just relax. It's not hard work. You don't have to press in. You just receive. Okay, it's not hard work.
Those of you on the prayer team, if you want to begin to pray for those who've come up to the front as well, you go ahead and do that. Just find someone to be a catcher for you. Those of you in your seats, if you don't mind coming and helping our prayer team by being catcher, prayer team, can you put your hand up if you need someone to help you? So if you're on the prayer team, hand up, and everyone who's got their hand up, we need someone just to match up with them so that they can help pray. So come and find someone. Once you've got someone with you, you can begin the ministry. Come, Holy Spirit. So we need a few more on the right side of the building. There's 4 or 5 prayer team with their hands up. Again, prayer team, once you've got your partner, just begin. Come, Holy Spirit. Prayer team, again, if you're on the prayer team and don't have a catcher yet, could you put your hand up? So I need someone to come and help Ken. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. For those of you standing, just close your eyes, begin to receive from the Holy Spirit. Let the mind of Jesus begin to come in. We've been praying junk out, good stuff in right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, welcome you, Daddy. Pour out, fill us up. I remember a couple years ago, Duncan Smith, before he and his family went down to Raleigh, he was talking about a revelation that he had that the Lord told him that in order to be free, he needed to be three. Don't know if you hear when he talked about that. and how three-year-olds, four-year-olds are so trusting. They believe every word. So you can tease them, you can lie to them, because they're believing. And Daddy, that's what we're wanting. I'm preparing for my sermon on Sunday today and reading a number of different passages about the kingdom of God. And one of the passages says, Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot understand the kingdom of God, can't receive the kingdom of God. So Daddy, help us to get out of our intellectualism. Help us to get out of our, we have to understand it. Get us out of those things, Daddy, and get us into thinking like Jesus, having God thoughts rule and reign in our mind. Transform our minds, Daddy. When Paul wrote that, he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to pagans. He's talking to Christian people, and he uses a very strong word. That the word transform is not a nice, polite word. It means radical surgery. So Paul is hinting, not even hinting, he's saying it. Most of us aren't thinking the way we're supposed to be. So Daddy, cleanse us, please. Give us God thoughts. Help us not to doubt. Help us to believe the revelation. Come, Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ comes to us. Mind of Christ.
I see the King
come.
Of glory.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Coming on the clouds.
Radical surgery. Daddy, we need lobotomies. Have our brains changed. Come, Holy Spirit.
I see.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Mercy.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Washing over all my sins.
Restoration.
People
healing.
People sing.
Cleansing.
Hosanna.
Simplicity and
Hosanna.
Truth comes. Godliness comes.
Hosanna in the high. Hosanna, Hosanna,
come, Holy
Hosanna,
come, Holy
the
Spirit.
High, yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Daddy.
I see the generation.
The mind of Christ fills us.
Rising,
washes us clean.
Take their place, selfless faith, selfless faith. I see a near revival, oh, stirring as we pray and see.
Come, Holy Spirit.
We're on our knees, on our knees. With fire, the whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see mercy, oh, washing out all my sins. People sing, people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna. gently. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me, Lord. You love me, God. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cross. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. 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 Things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause.
Come, Holy Spirit.
As I walk from earth.
Come, Holy Spirit. Friends, if you came to the front and no one has prayed for you yet, could you put your hand up so we can see you? If you came to the front, no one's prayed for you yet. So prayer team, just take a quick look around. There's a couple people. Just put your hand up for like 5 seconds, real high. Okay, folks, just take a look around on the prayer team. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Dad. For those of you at home, just want to pray for you right now as well. Father, would you come for every single one? I want to encourage you, just for those of you at home, just to close your eyes right now. Let the Holy Spirit find you. Let Him do that lobotomy, that mind change of taking your stuff out, God's stuff in, culture stuff out, God's stuff in, taking parental biases and agendas and prejudices, all those things gone. Holy Spirit, would you come? Give us the mind of Christ for every single one of us. Holy Spirit, come. Welcome you, Daddy. Give us more, give us more, give us more. Give us more, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you at home, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And God bless you. Every Friday night we have a meeting here. And Sunday mornings broadcasted, and Thursday nights as well are all live meetings. And occasionally there's a few things that are taking place as well. So make sure you just watch on our website for updates of activities that are taking place. So God bless you.